We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We've got a weaker field than usual for this week's John Deere for multiple reasons. One, a live tournament, and two, a Scottish Open next week with the British Open 2 weeks from now. We'll talk about that, plus a whole lot more, and maybe review a little bit of Hartford as well, coming up on this week's Gaming Golf Podcast. Everybody, welcome to Gaming Golf. Jeff Erickson here with Jeff Ritter and Scott Jenstad. We've had a slew of tournaments with good fields, high-profile names. This week, the PGA Tour takes a little bit of a breather with the John Deere Classic. It's a chance for a lot of lesser-accomplished players to maybe try to win open entry into the British Open. A lot of college players making their debut. It's a tougher field for us to analyze, though.
Yeah, much tougher. I mean, this is one of those weeks where, Live Golf, the new competitor in town, the effect is just massive. I think the Deere would have already probably taken a hit given that the Scottish Open is now a PGA Tour sanctioned event, and a lot of guys now have the chance to pop over, get that tune-up tournament in before the British. So, but this was supposed to be a year where the John Deere benefited, you know, by just kind of moving off the right away from the Scottish. But instead, they won right into the Live Golf competitor instead. So tough week for the Deere. It's a week in field, but maybe some betting opportunities if you can navigate some of these unknown or rising players. Follow a tour every week like we do. I got some names. I got some ideas. We'll see. But it's a different kind of week for sure.
I was gonna say DFS contests still pay out, bets still pay out, so I'm looking forward to it. It's just some different names, and it's a little tougher, but there's still money to be won.
Yeah, indeed. And I'll say this: I think the move that they thought ostensibly would help the Deere actually hurts it by co-sponsoring the Scottish. Now it's just like players have all the incentive in the world to go over 2 weeks earlier. Yeah. Yeah, and they don't want to play, travel cross country and then play, so makes sense. And I just think now that all those players are just going to go play the Scottish there. It's not even a choice now. They just do it.
Yeah, you get acclimated for a week to the time zone and before the major starts. It just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay, let's just jump right into it here. As alluded, no players in the top 50 in the world. It's a rough look. Our five-digit guys this week are Webb Simpson at 10-6, Adam Hadwin at 10-4, Sahith Theegala, who featured prominently last week at Hartford and on Jeff Ritter's roster, is at 10-1, and Jason Day at 10,000. Jeff, are you going to go full Theegala on us this week?
Well, I'm happy to continue starting him in my fantasy lineup in our season-long league that we play, which I still maintain is the toughest fantasy league in sports. That's a separate podcast. But the Theegala thing hurt. I would probably stay away from him in DFS. I just think, he's a rookie looking to break through. I don't know. Scar tissue isn't even the right word. I don't think the scar tissue is even formed yet. I think you're like still an open wound at this point from the double bogey on the last hole with a chance to win it. So I don't know. I mean, he's been kind of up and down this year. I think he's squarely, you know, we talked a lot about Cameron Young and Davis Riley on the podcast a lot through the year, but he's another guy that's right there for rookie of the year consideration, potentially if he can break through and win one of these last events. But I probably fade it this week. I think maybe we've had other weeks like this where, you know, where John Rahm jumped off the page in Mexico, for example, and it was sort of like, okay, you just have to do it if you haven't. I just don't know if Webb Simpson is that caliber where I'm all in on this. So I actually am fading this tier, but if I had to pick somebody, I guess I go Webb, but I don't really feel great about it.
I'm definitely going to take probably one guy off this tier. I just think we get to the point where the eights and nines aren't that much different from the sevens this week. So I think I want one guy up here. I think you can play two and really get in the seventh just because the eights are just not what they normally are. My guy this week is going to be Adam Hadwin. He last played at the U.S. Open. He finished seventh. He's been top 35 the last 3 weeks, and those are in full field events. So this is definitely a good field for him. He gained really well tee to green at both the Canadian and the Memorial. So hitting the ball well, obviously hit it well at the U.S. Open to finish seventh. He has four top 10 since March, so kind of you know sprinkling on some leaderboards a little bit here. 10-4, I think he's very playable. Probably the top guy I'll go with. I have no issue with Webb either, and Thigala's hitting the ball really well. But if I had to pick one, it'd be Adam Hadwin, and it would definitely not be Jason Day, who is miserably overpriced at 10,000.
All right. Agreed. Miserably overpriced. Yeah, I love that combination of words. 9,000.
He's not hitting the ball well at all. No. Like, he's a name, but I mean, I have him in our aforementioned toughest league in the history of fantasy sports. I don't feel good about it. He's just not hitting the ball well at all.
No. By the way, it shows where I'm doing and how I'm doing in the toughest league in fantasy sports when I've got five golfers going this week, as opposed to most people. I have one, I have two, and I have five, including
you've loaded up for the deer.
Webb Simpson. You know, I peek at the deer every year. So there you go. The $9,000 tier is much smaller than usual. Denny McCarthy at 99, Maverick McNealy at 95, Charles Howell III at 93, and Christian Benswedenhut is at 9,100. Scott, is there a golfer in this year you'll use?
There is. I like Charles Howell III a lot this week. Last three appearances here, it's a good course for him. He's finished in the top 20. Last 2 weeks, playing pretty well. 35th at Travelers, 18th Memorial. His approach game was bad last week, but tee to green and off the tee was strong, and he hit the ball well in approach at Memorial, so maybe just a bad week last week. But you look at the last 24 rounds, you know, we're trying to find guys who stick out a little bit. He ranks first in this field in tee to green, first in ball striking, third off the tee, ninth around the green, playing really well. He's famously a guy who just doesn't win a lot of tournaments, and 9,300 is really high price for him. But I just think he's one of the better players in this field. And when we get to one and done, it's an interesting strategy week this week because everybody's probably going to take, Webb or maybe some Hadwin. I think if you're in the bottom half of your one and done, it's a good week this week to try and find someone different. And CH3 is actually one of those guys I'm considering this week.
That's a good pick. I kind of just glazed over him, but you make a compelling case. I was thinking my first instinct was McNealy, who we've mentioned before in the podcast, is a guy whose career arc is trending towards a victory somewhere, and perhaps this depleted field is one of them. Although I'm not thrilled with the way he's playing lately, but I don't know. I just think this is a guy on the rise. He kind of fits the ball striker profile that you'd want. And I think Biswedenhut is also interesting. If nothing else, that it seems like when he makes a cut, he does something with it. He's got quite a few top 20. I think he's making 20, top 30 about half the time he makes a cut. So he's not just scraping along, but he can make a cut and do some things. And he's another one, not necessarily a power hitter. You don't need power here. I mean, this is the house that Zach Johnson and Steve Stricker built. So it's more of a this is a tee to green kind of ball striker golf course. So Biswedenhut fits that profile, but how was that? You make an interesting case for Howell too. So, but I think this is the tier where, at least for me, I start my lineup. Like I'm fading the 10,000s, but I think a guy or two here makes sense.
See it. I could see the build working out that way. Let's move on to the 8,000s. Scott Stallings is at 89. Patrick Rogers, we saw him pop up on the U.S. Open a little bit, 88, as well as Nick Hardy, who's at 87. Adam Long's 86. Brendan Todd, 85. Cam Davis, 84. Lucas Glover, I think the defending champ at 83, Lanto Griffin at 82, CT Pan at 81, and at 8,000, JT Poston and Cameron Champ. Jeff Ritter, who do you like in this group?
Well, I should probably talk about Hardy since I just picked him up in our season-long league.
Reluctantly, I believe was the word.
Reluctant. Well, I had to get rid of one of the Højgaards. I don't remember which one I had on the team.
Rasmus.
It was time. I don't think he's going to play the British, and I don't know, picked him up.
Never Højgaard. I learned that lesson this year.
The right answer is no Højgaard. Yeah. I think the Højgaards are going to be good, but it just might be a little too soon. But I think Nick Hardy, I mean – You just like the trend, I guess, as of where it's going. He was kind of out of nowhere at the U.S. Open, and I wasn't sure whether or not to buy it. But top 10 at the Travelers, so maybe I'm just going to try to ride the wave, I guess, and see. I wish he was a little cheaper. This is definitely priced in his last couple of results. But I also like Scott Stallings, who I think was top 10 also at the Travelers. He's up and down, but sometimes you catch these streaky players on a hot streak, and I think, again, profile fits the golf course nicely. So I'm intrigued there. I think he's got pretty good. I'm trying to pull up. I had it on an open tab. We shot the 63 last week, but I think he's got a pretty good track record at the Deer as well. So those are my two. And then just one more at the bottom of the tier. I'm probably going to snipe one of Scott's favorites, but CT Pan, again, not a power player, ball striker. Price is going up on CT Pan, as I guess you'd expect it to in this field, but I'm intrigued still at 8,100.
I'm actually not CT Pan this week. I was a little disturbed by how poorly he hit the ball last week. His approach game, which was really rock solid, took a little bit of hit last week, but I could see it. Maybe that was a 1 week blip, but my two guys here this week, another Stanford guy, you mentioned Matt McNeely, Patrick Rogers, 8,800, playing well right now. He was 31st US Open, 18th the Canadian. The Canadian was a lot of putting. I do get that, but he's made 6 or 7 cuts. 5 of those are top 35. So you take, you know, those real fields and you take those top 35, some of those become top 10s, top 15s in this field. You look at the last 24 rounds, 11th in ball striking, 10th off the tee, 8th in putting. So kind of an all around game. You're going to have to make some putts this week. It's a birdie fest. I think the lowest winning score in the last like 6 years is minus 18 or something like that. So you got to make birdies. You're going to have to go low. And I like Roger's chance to do that. My other guy here, also kind of all around game, is Cam Davis at 8,400. Last 24 rounds, he's 5th in the field in approach, 13th in ball striking, 15th tee to green. So a top 15 player and some big stats there. Again, another guy made 6 or 7 cuts. He was 3rd at the RBC Heritage. He was 7th at Schwab. So has made some nice runs up leaderboards in the last couple months here. I know he was only in the 50s last 2 weeks, but did make the cut. I think he's a solid player. I think at 8,400, he's pretty well priced for how bad this field is.
All right, very good. I'm penciling in all these names as you guys go along because we all need help, I think, in a week like this, in trying to find some extra edge. Before we move on to the 7,000s, a quick note from our sponsors on the Blue Wire Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS. You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Thank you for your indulgence on that. Let's talk about the 7900s. Again, it's a huge tier. Let's not go down and name every single one of them on the tier. We'll just start off with Scott. Who do you like in the top half of the 7000s?
There are a couple guys here that that I do like and I will be playing. My favorite guy probably is 7900 is John Hahn, who's played really well the last three events. He's been the top 25 at Travelers, Canadian, and Charles Schwab. Gained really well tee to green in all three of those events. You know, there's well and there's really well. He was really high up there. Gained off the tee and approach in all three of those events too. So playing good golf right now. You look at the top the last 24 rounds. Fourth in this field, tee to green, really good number there. 24th in ball striking, 10th around the green. So kind of playing well in all facets of the game. I think he's a little bit underpriced at 7,800. And I also like Chez Reavy, kind of an old favorite at 7,800. Last five events, he does have one missed cut, but the other four are all top 30s. He was eighth at the Travelers, gained really well, gained 4.4 shots tee to green there, gained 5.7 shots tee to green at Charles Schwab, has gained really well tee to green. Got to do that here in three of four events. So give me Chez and John Hahn under 8,000. I think those are both guys that make the cut and maybe give you a chance to get a top 10, top 15.
So we had to get down to the 7,000s where we overlap, but I'm also with you on John Hahn for all the reasons you suggested of his recent form, ball striking profile. Also, I just think, why can't he just go with the nickname, the question mark? I would just go with that if I was him. I feel like it's just sitting right there for him. The marketing opportunity, NIL deal. It's all sitting right there for John Hahn. But he has won on tour before. It's been a while, but it's on the rise. I like him, and I like him at that price. So otherwise, I thought Streelman is interesting at 7,900. He's got three top tens at the Deer, playing a little better recently. It's kind of a guy that pops up on these shorter golf courses, ball striker places. And I don't know. I just think about all the times Zach Johnson and Steve Stricker have won this thing. And I think, well, Streelman's kind of in that, maybe it's, kind of fits that same mold. And then also, I think Adam Svensson, I had him on my team earlier this year. He's another tee to green guy, Canadian. I think quietly lurking. Hasn't been his best lately, but for 7,700, I'm interested. Because I think he's a good fit for this place. So those were my three. But John Hahn, finally, we have an overlap.
I like it.
So put a star, put a question mark next to that one.
Go bet that one now, because I will be also.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Adam Svensson, I'm still looking for that Swedish flag next to his name, and I keep getting confused by that. But so be it. As an Ericsson, I thought, hey, fellow Swede. No, not the case. He's Canadian. All right, second half of the $7,000 tier, 7,400 and below, or for that matter, in the 6,000s. Jeff, who do you like for your cheapies to fit in and make everything work?
I could get behind Steve Stricker with the right roster construction. Just given his track record, he is playing well on the senior tour. I do think he's going to make the cut. I don't think he's going to win, but I think he's got an excellent shot at a top 20 here with this depleted field, and he's just that is his favorite spot. So I'm on that. The other one, and that'll go the other direction from the ultra old to the super young, Chris Gotterup, this kid who's, you see it every year, guys finish their college career, pop out on tour. And there's always a few that make a dent. And it's starting to happen already with Gotterup. If you pay attention, he made the cut at the US Open, made the cut last week. He actually top 10 at Puerto Rico earlier this year. He looks like a guy who's getting comfortable quickly. And I like to see that. So those are probably my two favorites off the lower half, the sevens, and then one off the six. Hayden Buckley, a tour rookie, Korn Ferry graduate. Again, it didn't happen right away, but had a 14th at the US Open, made the cut last week. Sometimes it takes a while for guys to get comfortable. So I'm intrigued at 6,900 for Buckley, but I didn't really have much below there. My strategy was to kind of build a lot in the sevens and eights this week.
I'm a little bit different strategy wise. I'm probably going to play some more down here just because I do want to get maybe, either two 10s or a 10 and a 9. Just I think they are a little bit of a tier above, and the 7-8s are pretty close. So I've got a few names down here, a couple in the low sevens, a couple in the high sixes. I do like Gutter up. I won't go in on him just because Jeff already did, but I think it's a good play based on how he played the last couple of weeks. He missed that one cut that he made to kind of taking some good steps there. Obviously a really talented guy. Gonna have to take some risks down here. My first play is definitely a risk. It's Taylor Pendrith, who was playing really good golf until he got the rib injury at the Players. He's pushed himself back a little bit. He was gonna play a couple weeks ago and then didn't. So hopefully he's just making sure he's 100% healthy. But I mean, you look at how well he was playing. He's 7,300. If you look at the last 24 rounds he played, he's eighth in this field tee to green, second in ball striking, ninth off the tee, second in DraftKings points. He was playing really well. He gained really well tee to green his last three events before he got hurt. He made 5 of 6 cuts. 3 of those were top 25s. I just think it's someone that's it's a risk. Like he may have some rust he needs to knock off. He may be not fully healthy, but if he's playing, if he's healthy and playing well, I mean, 7,300 is a really low price for a guy who has a bunch of upside in this field. My other guy down here is a friend of the podcast, Austin Smotherman. I'm surprised Jeff didn't mention him. I thought he was contractually obligated to.
Save it for you this time.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, he putted terribly last week at the Travelers. Missed the cut because he lost almost four strokes putting. Still hit it okay, but he made 6 straight cuts before that. He's gained tee to green in 4 of 5. He's gained off the tee in 5 straight. He was top 25 at AT&T, Wells Fargo, and Valspar, like events with way better fields than this one. You look at the last 24 rounds, he's still 4th in this group in ball striking, 7th off the tee. I was surprised he was 7,000. I thought he'd be a little bit more in this field. So I think, you know, at a price we've been kind of thinking about him in better fields, I think he really makes a lot of sense in this field. And then under 7,000, just a couple names. I like Lee Hodges at 6,900. He's made 3 straight cuts, gained approach 3 straight weeks, 2 top 35s last few weeks. So playing good golf right now. 6 in this field and approach in the last 24 rounds. And my other one is, you know, an old favorite, Von Taylor at 6,800. He's made 7 of 9 cuts, gained really well in approach the last 3 events. You look at this field last 24 rounds, he's 4th in the whole field in approach. So he and Hodges are kind of like shot gain approach plays that really stick out in the last 24 rounds. They're both top 6. So I think if you need to get under the 7,000, there's 2 guys that'll make the cut this week.
I was very close to picking up Pendrith in our league. I was down to Pendrith or Hardy. And what tipped me to Hardy was the fact that Pendrith tried to come back at the Canadian and then withdrew. And I just kind of thought, I don't like to see like the false start, but at the price in the DFS game, it is pretty good. And Pendrith also got picked up right after I picked up Hardy. I don't remember who did it, but I was like,
he's definitely a risk this week, but in this field, I think he's a risk that has some actually legit upside too.
I didn't have to pick up anybody this week. Joke's on you guys.
It's sad because I only have 2 guys, but I couldn't find someone to drop. I should just drop one of my meager guys and pick somebody up. But my team is so mediocre. There's just not.
My team is so strong, I can't find a cut.
I wish I want to cut Dustin Johnson so badly, but I guess I have to wait till after the British Open, right?
Same with me at Brooks. Yeah. I feel exactly the same way.
I am looking forward to that cut.
It's gonna. There's gonna be a lot of spiteful cuts coming up soon.
Here. I got Bryce in the cut also.
Dumb Liv question. I assume the Liv guys can't play the Scottish Open, right? Because it's got the PGA affiliation.
That is correct.
Okay. Correct.
But they can play other European Tour events.
Right.
That was the thing that I thought was interesting. Yeah. You know, it's like they haven't. It's only because it's co-run. That's the only reason why these guys can't play the Scottish. But like other ones, the DP World Tour is allowing them to play their events right now.
But we're only getting 1 week in the PGA event out of those guys. Then it's just the British. Okay.
Yeah. By the way, DraftKings is running a Live Tour Showdown. But I don't know. I don't feel really that motivated to try to break down that field, let alone play it. Just especially the 54 hole tournament, also kind of weird.
There was a PGA and DP World Tour announcement in the last hour of them growing their alliance. I wonder if that's going to affect the Live guys being able to play on the DP World Tour. I haven't seen an announcement.
That's what I was just looking at. We're putting together a story on it now for SI.com. I was just trying to. It doesn't look like it's going to affect anything this year. It's more of next year, the strengthening of their partnership. Top 10 guys.
Yeah, that's a big
on the
one.
Euro Tour get PGA Tour cards. That's very big.
That is really big. I wonder if the Live guys might get knocked out of the DP World Tours after that, but we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. People are playing DP World Tour fantasy leagues are just like having interesting conversations right now too, I imagine.
I'm sure.
Let's shuffle on over to the SI Sportsbook and take a look at what our betting sheet's going to indicate. Webb Simpson is the lowest odds at 12 to 1. Have no single digit ones there, so not the usual clear favorite like Rahm or anything like that. Rahm in Mexico or anything like that. Hadwin's at 16 to 1. Those are the only two golfers that are under 20 to 1 over there. So what grabs your eye, guys, in terms of the sportsbook? Let's start with Jeff.
So just pretty much some of the guys I brought up earlier. I mean, you like the odds. This is definitely a chance. This is definitely a week to mix in some long shots, you know, take a stab at it. I started with Scott Stallings at 30 to 1. Adam Svensson, 50 to 1. Steve Stricker, I wish it was a little longer than 55 to 1. I thought I saw him at 80 to 1 earlier when I started prepping for this. If you guys can believe it, I started prepping for this yesterday. I got to really think about what am I going to say about the deer. Stricker was 80 to 1 yesterday. Now he's down to 55. So someone must have seen my podcast notes and made a big bet. And then I think Chris Gotterup's 80 to 1. I don't know. Maybe it happens really fast. I think that could certainly happen. And I like him a lot for maybe a top 10 bet in there. So that's where I'm starting with the straight ticket bets.
Yeah, it is kind of strangely a fun betting week because a lot of these names, these longer shots, can actually win this week. Like usually that's like, oh, well, this guy can play great, but, you know, he's got to beat Rahm and JT and Rory. And it's just tough to get there over all those guys. But this is a week where someone can win. I'm not playing any of the top three guys. I'm not playing anybody under 25 to 1 this week. I just think it's a week where you get a little bit deeper down the field. So I'm going to start with Charles Howell III at 30 to 1. I'm going to play Patrick Rogers at 31, Cam Davis at 40 to 1. And then definitely John Hunt, 61, probably my favorite of the in terms of you know the actual betting number. I love that one at 60 to 1, and he's got a chance to win this week. And I'm going to jump on with Jeff too on Chris Gotterup at 80 to 1. Like you said, maybe it comes really fast. We saw it with Wolf and Morikawa and Hovland. He's not quite those guys' elite pedigree, but you know sometimes these college guys get in the right field and they can really make a run. So give me those five, all 30 or one, two or above. I may drop a couple bucks on Smotherman 100 to 1 just for FOMO for the podcast. And I don't want to miss out on that if he wins. It'd be too fun. But those other five guys are kind of the main guys I'm betting. Kind of just sprinkling it out there with all higher odds because you know someone's going to win from the pack this week, and hopefully it's one of mine.
All right, very good. Any like top 10, top 20, top five bets you guys like?
I'd probably move Gotterup to a top 10 at 8.5 to 1.
Okay.
I like that too. That's my, right, cool. I was just looking at
it. I'd go probably, if I had to do that, I'd probably go with Von Taylor. I think he was like 18 to 1, something like that for a top 10. I think Taylor's a guy that's going to stick around this weekend.
All right. Very good. All right. Let's talk one and done before we sign off here. I mean, the world is our oyster. I'm looking, I have actually picked two golfers in the field so far. I picked Jason Day and Austin Smotherman as options so far. Yeah.
The Smotherman pick is definitely Jeff's fault.
It's totally money. And by the way, I've been really good. I'm sorry. Last week I jumped on Ritter's coattails on Neiman and dragged him down. Turns out when someone's standing on your coattails, it's hard to climb. So I'm going to try to get my, I'll beat my own boy this week.
Neiman Spieth was a rough combo last week. They were both brutal.
Yeah, they were. So let's go. Let's start with Mr. Ritter. Who do you like first in one and done?
I'm in 29th place out of 50 in this pool. So I got to make something happen. I feel like Webb Simpson, the Gala, they're going to be heavily owned, right? So especially if you're in the top half. So this is the week to throw a dart. So I'm down to, I think I'm just going to do it. I don't care. I'm going to go Gotterup. I'm going to do it.
Do it.
I'm going to do it.
Do it.
He's at the very bottom, but he's at the very, very last player listed on our one and done pool. He's at the very bottom.
He's probably recently added to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet.
So Godspeed, Chris Gotterup. I'm in. We're in this together now. Thank you.
I wish you good luck. Scott Jensen, who do you got?
I think if you're in a top third of your tier, you just take Webb Simpson and call it a day. You're never going to get a better spot to use him. Just do it. If he wins, you're set up. If he loses, you're fine. Everybody's going to have him anyway. I just wouldn't want to be in the top third of my pool and have him win or finish second and not be on him. So if you're top third, I am not in our pool. So I'm going to drop down. I'm going to go Charles Howell III this week. I'm feeling it. I almost went Hadwin, but I think I'm going to go a little bit further down. I think CH3 has a really good week this week. So give me him. I need someone to win that nobody has. And I think he'll be, 1% rostered this week. So I'm going to go Howell.
All right. Yeah, not in the first column, so that always helps.
Yeah.
When you're like doing the picks here, so that
who are you on, Jeff?
I've been kind of, I'm all over the place here, but I'm gonna go ahead and go Cam Davis. I like Cam Davis.
I like that one too.
Yeah. So and Padwin's gonna be my alternate pick in case Cam Davis decides to get a wild hair. So there you go. That's it for this week. Any other parting thoughts before we go?
Nothing. What are we doing next? Are we doing Scottish Open next week? Or are we going to do? We are, right.
If it's not Scottish, it's crap. So we have to do Scottish.
Not good.
I think Scottish. I mean, it's there's a lot of PGA plays. I think all the main tournaments are going to be on that. So yeah, I think we go Scottish.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's Gaming Golf. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We always appreciate it. Please subscribe, rate, and review us as always. And we'll be back at you with the Scottish next week. Take care.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.